This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
If your roof starts to leak or your floors really squeak, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
If your basement needs a pump or your place looks like a dump, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home. I call an 888 money pit.
The Money Pit is presented by Jaws, Home Advisor, Centurion Tools, and Greenworks. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
We are here to help you with your home improvement and decor projects. And guess what? It is officially the start of the spring home improvement season, the big season of the year when we all feel refreshed and energized to take on all sorts of things inside and outside your house. So if you're throwing open the windows, and then maybe just choking on all the allergens that are coming in, we can help you with that. Or if maybe you're just deciding that the outside of your house does not look as lovely as the landscaping, maybe you want to fix that up. Maybe you want to spruce up, build a deck, build a patio. Maybe you want to tackle a new room makeover. Hey, whatever is on that to-do list, give us a call. We'd love to help. The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT. You can call that number 24/7. If we are not in the studio, we will call you back the next time we are. Plus, you can post your question anytime at moneypit.com. Coming up on today's show, nothing says spring like throwing open those windows and breathing in that fresh spring air. But if your screens are filthy, you might just be sucking in something not quite so fresh. So we're going to share a formula for quick and easy screen cleaning just ahead.
And whether you consider yourself a do-it-yourselfer or one that loves to go pro when taking on your home improvements, thanks to these rapid advancements in home automation, our homes are doing a lot more for us these days. We're going to share some tips on how to use this technology to improve your comfort and energy savings.
And also ahead, battery-powered tools are more popular than ever, but can they really compete when it comes to lawn and garden tools like mowers and chainsaws? We'll dig in just ahead.
And speaking of working outside, we're going to fill your garden shed with some new tools this hour because we're giving away some great tools from Centurion. We've got their premium bypass pruner and anvil lopper. They're so durable that they're going to be super helpful this spring and for many springs to come.
Those tools are worth over $50, but going out to one listener drawn at random. Make that you. Call us right now with your home improvement or decor question at 1-888-MONEYPIT. Or you can post your questions on moneypit.com. Let's get to it. Leslie, who's up first?
Bill in Texas is on the line and looking for some help with a marble countertop. What's going on at your money pit?
We built the house in 87 and moved in, and since then, several of our bathroom countertop sinks, they're a one-piece deal that were made out of what was termed man-made marble. So I'm sure it's a plastic base, but about an inch thick. And they've, over the years, been cleaned improperly with some abrasive cleaners, and I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to address the scratches.
So that sounds like some sort of a composite, and it probably has a surface glaze on it. And my concern is that the glaze is worn, and you try to do any sort of polishing of that, you may end up getting into the substrate. And I've seen what that substrate looks like because there was a time when I used to actually build kitchen cabinets and build vanity cabinets, and sometimes folks would order those pre-made one-piece composite sinks, and we've had to cut them, and that surface glaze is not very thick. So if the damage to the surface, I don't think there's anything that you could do to clean it, so to speak, that's going to pull that out. It's really a replacement situation. If it was truly marble, then you could polish it out and get below what you're seeing in terms of the stains and the scratches. But if it's a composite marble, like what you're describing, I don't think you're going to be able to restore that surface. The good news is that those tops, those cast tops, are really not that expensive. You may want to just take a look at replacing it? I mean, I think we're less than $100, generally speaking.
It depends on the size of the vanity, but I just did a 60-inch, you know, double sink top that was like one thing with the molded sinks, and it was like $189.
Yeah, so not a lot of money for the to replace those countertops.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome, Bill. Good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888 Money Pit.
Ellie in Florida, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
Yes, I just recently moved to Florida, and the house I bought, the water softener is broken because I believe it's because they had it outside the home. Every other house in my community has them in the garage, and mine, they for some reason, the water line is on the opposite side of the house than the garage. So it would be, I believe it would be a major thing to have the water line brought from one side of the house to the other so I could have it inside. And Sears tells me that I can have it put outside, but you have to have some kind of protective covering. Lowe's tells me that they don't sell any that go outdoors. And a private plumbing company is telling me that they have one that sells the go to put outside specifically. And other people are saying you don't even need one to go, don't even bother the expense. So I don't know what to do.
So, first of all, the question is, do you need a water softener or not?
Right. I mean, I looked online and, you know, I see the pros and cons.
Right. Well, I mean, if you have, if you're accustomed to a water softener and you eliminate it, you may find that you don't like that experience. You certainly could bypass the water softener just to see if you like the water. Is the water city water?
Well, it's not well water, so does that mean it is city water? I don't know.
Yeah, it's city water. If it's city water, you probably do not need a water softener.
Well, I don't think it is city water because people in Ocala, I think they told me that they don't need it. They have city water. I could be wrong. I'm not sure. But everybody in this development says you need it.
Ellie, the first thing you want to do is figure out if you've got city water. If you do, it's going to be treated. If you've got well water, then you do need probably a water conditioner as well as to have the water tested to make sure that it's safe. And that's something that should be done on an occasional basis. Now, in terms of the enclosures, given the fact that you're in Florida, we're not concerned about freezing pipes. I wouldn't be too concerned about putting it outside. I would want to have it enclosed. Now, how do you do that? Well, you either use one that's rated to be outside, and perhaps the water treatment company, the plumbing company, has one that has such a certification. It's designed for interior or exterior use, and that's fine. And if not, you're going to have to construct something or have something constructed or perhaps pick up a small shed or something of that nature where the equipment could be protected from the weather. But I think the first thing you need to do is determine whether or not you need it and determine what kind of water supply you have. If it's well water, get it tested. You can even have the hardness tested. You'll know exactly what you're dealing with. And if it's city water, then I think you could try bypassing the system you have right now and see if you like it. I hope that helps you out. Ellie, thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT. Well, now that it is officially spring happened this week. It was the 19th. So, yeah, we're into spring. So that's awesome, which means we're going to be into spring gardens, which is also awesome.
Yes.
But that also means it's a good excuse to buy new tools. Like I needed an excuse to buy new tools. But
you never need an excuse to buy new tools, Tom.
We're going to give some tools away. Let's just do that. We've got from Centurion Brands the premium bypass pruner to give away. This is cool because it features a large to small grip. Basically, you have a little switch. You can flip it. If you've got a little hand, a big hand, you can make this very comfortable for you, and it can handle branches up to an inch thick. They've got high carbon steel blades. They stay sharper longer, and they're Teflon coated. So they're going to cut without sticking, and they're throwing in the anvil lopper. So you're going to have two premium tools to help with all of that spring, summer, and fall yard work. If you want to win it, you got to call right now with your home improvement question. We'll toss your name in the Money Pit hard hat and send out that package of Centurion tools worth $50 to you. The number is 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
All right, now we've got Doug in Virginia on the line, who seems to have gotten something on a hardwood floor that perhaps should not have been there. What's going on?
Yeah, basically my wife and I are trying to restore a home that we purchased that was built in the 1950s. And we're currently working on the kitchen. And what we found was the floors had tiles put down in the 50s, and they used a thick black cutback adhesive, like an asphalt adhesive. And so we got the tiles up, and we were working on getting that tar up. And we used a product called Citrus King.
Yeah, it's an adhesive remover, right?
Right, right. And it worked really, really good. It brought the tar right up. But in the process, it made the wood wet. We put it down. We got it up as fast as we could, but it did make it a little bit wet. Our flooring finisher, the original idea, we were going to use monocoat to finish the floors, which is like a natural wood finish and an oil finish. And when he realized we could use the product to strip the floors, he felt that that product wasn't going to work. The monocoat wouldn't work for a floor finish. And so our plan B was just a stain and a poly finish. And he felt that the floor having moisture in it, that the poly wouldn't stick.
Well, look, if it has moisture in it, the moisture is not going to be in it permanently. It's going to evaporate out of it. Has the floor been sanded since the adhesive was pulled up?
Yeah, I sanded it over this past weekend.
Okay, and it looks good now? I mean, it looks like a clean, dry, sanded hardwood floor?
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I mean, it's not. It doesn't look brand new, but we kind of like it. It has kind of a weathered look to it, so we like it.
Well, it sounds to me like this guy doesn't really want to do it anyway. Maybe he's trying to talk himself out of the job.
He's looking for a way out.
But look, just because the floor got wet, as long as the floor's dried out, when did you actually do the adhesive removal process?
It's probably been 2 weeks ago.
Okay, and so and you got up all of the moisture that was there, and now it seems to have dried out real well.
Yeah, I mean it feels dry there for a little bit. You would see some dark spots on it, and you could sand them away, and they'd actually come back. And so I think that the moisture was coming out of it, but I sanded it this past weekend, and since then it's remained the same color and feels dry.
Yeah, I mean I don't see any reason you just can't go right to the finish coat on this. I think he's being a little overly cautious. I mean, he doesn't want to be responsible for having to do it twice. I can understand that. But if there's any concern, then try finishing a section inside of a closet first and see how it goes. But I don't know why you need this guy to do the finishing. If you've done all the sanding work, applying the finish is, the last step.
Right.
You know, you would apply it. If you're using a polyurethane, you apply that with a lamb's wool applicator. And that looks a bit like a sponge mop, except it has a lamb's wool pad on it. You pour the urethane into a regular painting tray, and then you essentially mop it on. Now, did you mention that you wanted to stain?
Yeah, we'd like to stain first, yeah.
So you have to stain first. Now, I will warn you that the stain, you could. If I was concerned about anything, it would be the rate of absorption of the stain, because based on how much of that adhesive end up getting into the hardwood floor, some areas may not accept the stain as well as others. So I would be careful about the stain. I would do that in an inconspicuous area first just to make sure it's going to go on as you expect it. But again, you could do that with a lamb's wool applicator as well.
Do you think that like a preconditioner, I've read about those, do you think a preconditioner would help that?
Maybe. But it really depends on the condition. That preconditioners usually go on raw wood, not pre-finished. That wood's already been finished, which essentially this has because it has the adhesive on it. Do you have some places in this floor layout where you could try it, like a closet?
Yeah, maybe. Well, it's just the kitchen, so maybe a little bit under where the cabinets will be installed, possibly there.
Yeah, I would just try that and see, and just put it on carefully and see if it seems to be absorbing evenly. That's my only concern, especially if you're going darker, because if you get a section where there's still adhesive, it's not going to absorb, and it'll end up having sort of blotches.
And the poly, you feel pretty confident the poly should stick okay then, too?
Yes, I do feel pretty confident. If you sanded it and you got down to sawdust, I think the poly should stick fine.
All right, great.
All right, make sure you use the solvent-based polyurethane, not the latex-based, not the water-based.
All right, well, thank you for your help.
Good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Everyone should know that drinking water is important to staying hydrated and healthy. Having safe, clean water is the last thing you want to worry about, but unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants right in its tap water.
That's why we are thrilled to be working with AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and is specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. And they have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free countertop purifiers to higher capacity under-sink options. They even have a Wi-Fi connected purifier and mineral boost options.
And its proprietary purification technology is independently tested by IAPMO to NSF and ANSI standards to remove over 80 of the most harmful contaminants, including chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, PFAS known as forever chemicals, nitrate, and many more. I can truly taste the difference when I compare it with my old water filter. AquaTrue saves you money also. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That's less than 3 cents a bottle. Plus, you'll save the environment from tons of plastic waste.
AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. And today, Money Pit listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com, that's AquaTrue.com, and enter code MONEYPIT at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code MONEYPIT, MONEYPIT. Well, nothing says spring like throwing open those windows and breathing in some fresh spring air. But if the screens are filthy, you just might be sucking in something else not quite so fresh. So here's what you need to know to get those screens scrubbed clean.
First of all, you've got to remove the screens from the window frames. You don't want to just do it while they're on the house because chances are you could damage the screens that way. So take the screens out, then lay the screens on a flat surface. You can use your driveway and then use a mild soap and water mixture with a soft bristle brush, and that's going to remove all that dirt and grime. You want to make sure you clean both sides of that window screen and around the inside and the outside of the frames.
Next, use a hose to rinse off the screens and then just lay them in the sun to dry. Now, if you are tempted to use a pressure washer because it's just a fun tool to use, don't use it on the screens. The force of the water is way too much. It will destroy those screens in a second.
And guys, you know, I know most of us leave our window screens in the frames, in the house all year long, but it's actually a better idea to take them out during the winter months and store them. They're just going to last longer. They'll see less damage. So think about doing that next winter season.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. If you've got a question, now's a great time to call. That number is 888-666-3974.
We've got Randy in Florida on the line who's got a dehumidification question. What can we do for you?
Our house is off-grade, and the crawl space area has ventilation all around the house, and we wanted to see about encapsulating it, you know, with the vapor barrier plastic. And with being in Florida, I was just a little worried about humidity and possibly wanting to insulate it and see, you know, see what y'all's opinion was.
Well, I do think it's a good idea for you to add a vapor barrier that will help reduce the amount of humidity that gets into the space above the floor, and that can make the home more efficient and certainly more comfortable. What you might also want to think about doing is adding an exhaust fan. They have fans that are basically the size of a concrete block or a foundation vent. And you could put fans on one side of the foundation and have vents open on the other side, then have those fans operate on a humidistat so that whenever the humidity gets really damp in that crawl space, the fan can kick on and pull some drier air from outside across that essentially that crawl space floor, pulling the moisture out with it. So those two things can help you manage moisture. On the outside of the house, You also want to make sure that if you've got gutters, you should have gutters on the home, and that there's downspouts that extend away from that foundation, because when you dump the additional water that collects on your roof right against the foundation, that definitely improves, increases the humidity that's in that space. So all of those things working together can keep it a lot drier.
Okay, so would you be extending that vapor barrier up the walls of the crawl space, or would that interfere with that ventilation unit that you're speaking of?
Well, you don't want to block off the vents, but yeah, I would extend it up the wall if you could extend it 12 inches or so, just to make sure it's sealed well.
Okay, and then would you add a dehumidifier down there, or would that essentially be what the ventilation unit you're talking about would do?
That's kind of what the ventilation would do. I would not add a dehumidifier into that space. It's not really designed for an unconditioned space like that. Dehumidifiers are not really designed for that.
Okay, and then so that would keep the humidity low enough that we could then put the batted insulation between the floor joists?
Yeah, it will keep it, it will make it lower. It'll make it reasonably lower. It's never going to be, you know, 100% dry. It's always going to be damp. But I do think, yes, that will keep the moisture down, which is what you want to do, and allow you to get more efficiency out of the insulation.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Randy. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Ohio. Ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Well, whether you consider yourself a do-it-yourselfer or one that loves to go pro when you're taking on home improvements, the fact of the matter is that thanks to the rapid advancements in home automation, our homes are doing a lot more for us these days.
Well, that's right. And with us to talk about that is Dan DeClerico. Dan is the home expert and smart home strategist for Home Advisor. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, it's great to be here, guys.
You know, I remember back when we first started seeing home automation hit the residential market, but those systems were really expensive. They usually required kind of major rewiring of your home because you had to run Cat 5 wire from like mission control to every single device. And finally, you had to pretty much bank that that system that you invested all that money in was going to be around for a while, because otherwise it wasn't interconnected with other smart home products. You were all in for that one brand, that one manufacturer. Fortunately, all that has changed today, right?
Yeah, listen, I mean, for 30 years, you're exactly right. Home automation has been a niche high-end category. It's really in the last 5 years that it's made a pretty steady migration into the mainstream, giving all sorts of opportunities for homeowners to really realize the many use cases here, the many benefits of this technology.
Do you think that it's just because you're finding a different generation of people who are much more comfortable with this technology looking to adopt that?
Oh, absolutely. I think demographics is a big driving factor. You know, millennials, first generation of digital natives to be owning and maintaining homes, they're used to controlling their lives from their smartphone. You know, very much the expectation is that they'll be able to do the same thing with their home. So that's a big part of it. Listen, I think Alexa, voice control, these smart speakers, it really put smart home technology front and center, you know, in the mind of the American consumer, like really nothing before it.
I just got my first car that has Apple CarPlay in it, and I'm like loving it. I don't know why I waited so long, but it's just so cool. Everything you can do with your voice today and do safely and efficiently. And in your home, really the sky's the limit. Thanks to Wi-Fi and Bluetooth technology, there no longer do you need any kind of wiring or central monitoring system. You can pretty much grow your smart home product collection one item at a time. You can solve one problem at a time. You know, if you want a smart garage door opener, or if you want a smart shade, you know, whatever you want, you can just get that one thing and just go for it.
Yeah, manufacturers have made it very easy. Now, you know, listen, going with the high-end integrator, going for that full whole house solution is going to be a better experience. It's at a point where you can do it yourself, and you can start to realize many of the benefits.
And I mean, I think it's great because so many of these items, like you're saying, are plug and play. Oh, look, I want this. Boom, done. Totally automated. It's so easy to use.
So where do you think the technology is going to go from here? What kinds of products in the home do you think will become smart that we're not seeing with that technology in, or maybe you're going to see big advancements with?
really the, you know, still tip of the iceberg as much advancement as we have seen in the last few years. I mean, the sky's the limit. For HomeAdvisor, from the sort of the maintenance perspective, this notion of predictive maintenance, you know, what we like to call the check engine light for the home. So we're going to see sensors, you know, positioned throughout the home. We're already seeing it with whole house water monitoring systems that, you know, give you the heads up if there's a leak somewhere in the home and even connect you right in with a home service professional who can, you know, come help you out. So that's kind of the most exciting thing from the, you know, maintenance perspective, you know, as far as we're concerned.
Very cool. Dan DeClerico, the home expert and smart home strategist for HomeAdvisor.com. Thank you, Dan, for being part of the Money Pit.
Thank you.
Well, it is officially spring, and that makes it time to maybe think about starting those spring gardens. We've got two great tools we're giving away to one listener drawn at random who may want to do just that. We've got Centurion Brands large to small grip premium bypass pruners and an anvil lopper. Those pruners are pretty cool, Leslie, because they'll work for you and for me, right?
I mean, it's really great with just the flip of a switch. You sort of can adjust that comfort level depending on if you've got the small grip or the big grip. So it's a great tool just to have around for everyone to use for the yard and garden. Plus, up for grabs also, we're throwing in the anvil lopper. So you're going to have two premium tools that'll help you out this spring season and even into the summer and fall.
That package is worth $50 going out to one listener drawn at random. So make that you. Here's what you need to know. Post your question at moneypit.com or call us now with that question at 1-888-MONEYPIT, 888-666-3974.
Joyce in Massachusetts, you've got the Money Pit. What can we do for you today?
I have 9 windows, and we had someone caulk the windows where the windowsills, because we live in Boston, and the cold air has been blowing in. I want to know how I can seal them up, because it didn't do one iota thing for the gentleman caulking the 9 windows.
Didn't do any good, huh? And he caulked them from the outside or from the inside?
From the inside, because this is an apartment building. We're on the 7th floor, and we have windows going on different angles. And so I'm trying to find out what is the easiest way to prevent the cold from blowing in, because it's unbearable.
Okay, since you're on the 7th floor, I presume that you don't use your windows. You would never use your windows for emergency egress. Do any of them go to a fire escape or anything like that?
No.
Okay, so there's two things that you can do here. One of which is you can use shrink film. It's a clear plastic wrap that you cut to fit the size of the window. Mm-hmm. You attach it with a clear double face tape that comes with it. And then you use your hair dryer to heat it, and it becomes very taut and clear so it doesn't obstruct the view.
What about weather stripping, like weather felt?
Well, that's all possible, but there's another option. And the reason I asked you if you needed to use your windows for egress is because I was going to recommend temporary weather stripping. Now, there's a caulk that's like a weather stripping sealant, but it's a temporary sealant. Okay, so the way this works is you essentially caulk your windows shut. You caulk all the seams in the window where they slide up and down with this clear temporary caulk. And then what happens is in the spring, you can actually grab the edge of this caulk and peel it right off. It comes off like a clear rubbery strip. It enables you to essentially seal your windows shut in the winter and then restore them in the spring.
Thank you very much, and I enjoy your program immensely.
All right, good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEYPIT.
Well, Leslie, we have just passed the first official day of spring, but you know how I knew for sure that spring had arrived?
How?
My neighbor was out this morning with his gas-powered backpack blower at like 8 a.m.
Wait, this is the same guy that's always borrowing your tools, right?
Yeah, and I have a new one I'm going to be passing on to him because I no longer actually have any gas-powered lawn equipment. I switched out everything to the Greenworks cordless 60-volt line. These are powered by very pro-grade 60-volt lithium-ion batteries, and they are just as powerful. They work just as well as the gas models, but without the fumes, the stinky emissions, or the noise that wakes up the neighbors at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. Hint,
I think this is your big plan, Tom. You're like, I'll just replace everything with quiet Greenworks tools so my neighbor, as he borrows them, stops waking everybody else up. And that new 60-volt line is sold exclusively at Lowe's and includes a Greenworks 16-inch battery-powered string trimmer and handheld blower that delivers 610 cubic feet per minute of air power. They also have a 16-inch chainsaw and a 21-inch dual-port self-propelled mower, which is really cool because when that first battery runs out, that second battery is going to automatically kick in, so never stopping working.
And you know what I love about that mower, aside from not having to deal with a cord, like a pull cord to start it? It's that it, because there's no gas, because there's no oil, it stores upright. And that takes a fraction of the space in my shed.
Yeah, and these tools are also lighter weight. They're more compact. They take up way less space. Plus, they've got a lot of power for both DIYers and the pros. Greenworks is definitely here to change the game, and they're not done doing so yet.
You'll find the entire 60-volt lineup sold exclusively at Lowe's Home Improvement.
Now I've got Andy in New Jersey on the line with an insulation question. How can we help you today?
I added on an addition, an enclosed porch, to the back of my rancher. It's a 12 by 24 addition. And so first it was just a porch, and now we're enclosing it and trying to make it part of the house. So the question I had was about insulating the ceiling, because what it is, it has a gambled roof on it, and it's come out of the house 14 feet to the back door, and it's 24 feet wide. And then there's an A-frame, okay, that goes on top. So I call it a gambled roof. I don't know if I'm using the right terminology. But so the insulation in the ceiling on the two sides, okay, it's like a vaulted ceiling, I guess you might say. The rafters are 2x8, okay. And then they drop into the eaves. So I'm not sure about the ventilation of the roof.
So that's what we call a cathedral ceiling.
Right, but it only comes up that far for about 8 feet.
Right, it's like a partial cathedral, so part of it's flat and part of it is a cathedral. Is that correct?
Yes, it comes up. Yeah, it comes up right along the rafters, the ceiling for about 8 feet, and then it cuts right across.
Okay, so let me give you some suggestions. So, first of all, unrelated to your question, you just mentioned that you built this addition on a porch. Does a porch have a proper foundation?
Well, no, I'm sorry. We built the whole porch, or as a porch.
Oh, it was all part of it. Okay, fine. Because a lot of times we see folks that take old porches and try to turn them into additions, and they don't have the right foundations. Because before we put money in this, we want to make sure you had a good foundation. Now, in terms of insulating the cathedral section, the way you do that is if you have a 2x8 cathedral roof rafter kind of span, you can only put 5.5 inches of insulation in that. You need to leave the balance of the space for ventilation, as you've mentioned. And you're going to need to make sure that you have ventilation at the peak and also towards the bottom of that. Now, depending on how it's configured and how it intersects with the lower slope or the flatter section, you need to figure out a way for air to move above that insulation and get up underneath between the insulation and the rafter and out. Now, another way to do this is to not use fiberglass at all. What you could do is use spray foam insulation, isonene spray foam insulation. I did this in my house. And in fact, I just got an assessment of how well the home was insulated compared, or how energy efficient the home was compared to my neighborhood. And it went up to being in the top 19% of the neighborhood for insulation, which I thought was quite an accomplishment because my house was built 125 years ago. It's not like we started with a house that was, you know, was built in the year 2000. This is a 125-year-old house. It's in the top 20% of the most insulated homes in the area because I used isonene spray foam insulation. And if you use the spray foam insulation, you don't need to ventilate. Basically, you're changing that area from an unconditioned space to a conditioned space. You can spray up right against the underside of the roof sheathing and encase the whole thing in foam, and it'll be far more insulated than you could ever get with the fiberglass. Because let's face it, you know, we'd like to see, you know, R30, R40 in terms of insulation ability, but all you can get is R19 because you can only get 5.5 inches of insulation in there.
All right. Thank you very much for your help.
Yep. Good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888 Money Pit.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Remember, if you've got a question, you can always post it on Facebook.com/TheMoneyPit, just like Carolyn did. Now, she writes, I live in the home I grew up in, and it's in desperate need of repair. It's around 60 years old and needs new wiring, but I'm most worried that I will walk uphill a couple of inches every time I go into the kitchen. Would it be best to level the house before repairs are done?
First of all, my advice, since you have so much concern about this house, would be to get sort of a baseline understanding of what its true structural condition is. I would hire a professional home inspector from the American Society of Home Inspectors, certified by that organization. They're impartial. They're not there to sell you any repairs. They'll just figure out what's going on. But as for the order of repair, you want to level this floor, but you want to do this in such a way that doesn't destroy or damage the electrical wiring or the plumbing. You never really want to sort of try to lift the floor joist to do that in an old house. What you want to do is level it after the fact, and you can do that with floor leveling compound, which is kind of like a slurry mix, like a lightweight concrete that it's spread across the floor and self-levels. Or it could do with some carpentry work where you actually shim up sort of the upper sections of the floor, but you don't want to physically lift those joists because you'll stretch those wires. So I would do the electrical work first just to make sure you're safe, and then the floor work later, but just don't move the structure so you don't damage any of that work.
And then, Carolyn, think about all the beautiful decorating work you can do once you finally get things in shape.
Well, spring is here, and that means homeowners across the country are going to start picking up their shovels for a variety of outdoor projects, planting trees, installing fences, building decks, and more. But one phone call before you do any of that could save your life. Leslie has the details in today's edition of Leslie's Last Word. Leslie?
Yeah, this is always a surprising fact. Now, a recent survey found that more than half of homeowners who plan to dig any kind of project, digging project, had no plans to check on underground lines or pipes. Now, digging without even knowing the rough location of utility lines is always a gamble. Even if you end up being lucky enough to avoid serious injury, you could still end up disrupting service to your entire neighborhood and possibly be responsible for fines and all of those repair costs. Now, damage to gas pipelines can cause devastating explosions, and every digging job requires a call. Even small projects, guys, like planting shrubs or hedges. Now, I'm not talking about little annuals that you're going to plant because that doesn't ever get deep enough. But if you're planting like a big bush or a new tree, you do have to go fairly deep into the ground, and you could come in contact with any of these lines. So you do need to make that call. Now, you can call 811 from anywhere in the country, and you do this just a few days before you plan to dig. And your call is going to be routed to your local one call center. Tell the operator what you're planning to do, where you're planning to dig, what type of work, and your affected utility companies are going to be notified about those plans. In a few days, they're going to send a locator to your house who's going to mark the approximate location of your underground lines, pipes, cables. It's all for free. There is no cost. This way, you know exactly what's going on below ground, and you'll be able to dig safely. I mean, you could save your life. You could save yourself a ton of money. So just be cautious, guys. Do the right thing. It's a simple phone call.
And you could save yourself the embarrassment of having to explain to your wife why you pierced the main water line and she has no water for the week.
No, seriously, that would be super bad.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. Thank you so much for spending this part of your day with us. Coming up next time on the program, now that the weather is warming up, it's time to get out on your deck and enjoy the season. But before you do just that, it's a good idea to give it a safety check. So we're going to tell you five things to look for to make sure your deck is good to go on the next edition of The Money Pit. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself,
but you don't have to do it alone.